You're listening to an East Point Church podcast. East Point Church gathers to make much of Jesus Christ by knowing Him and making Him known. For more information on East Point Church, please visit our website at epcmwc.org.
It's a pleasure. It's a privilege to come worship with the family of God, isn't it? It's even on a dreary weather day, it's not dreary at all because Christ is risen from the grave. So we come this morning proclaiming that Christ is Lord. And if you, I mean, just you look around this room, and this is the family of God, those who believe in Jesus. And so we feel it's important that we gather together and lift the name of Jesus. And so we are here this morning to proclaim that Jesus is Lord, that Christ is Lord. We come proclaiming and celebrating that Christ is alive. Amen? He's alive. That He defeated death, that He rose from the grave. We come proclaiming that Jesus is better than anything. And there's a lot of stuff vying for your attention, vying for your commitment. But Jesus is better. We proclaim that He is Lord over all. We proclaim that Christ is in control of everything. And how many of us doubt that sometimes? But that's the truth. Christ is in control. We come proclaiming that Christ is sufficient for all of our needs. We come proclaiming that Christ sits at the right hand of the Father and intercedes for us. Because of Christ and what He did for us on the cross, we can, as in Hebrews 4:16 states, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Christ is risen from the grave. We do not serve a God who is dead. Amen? We do not serve a wooden statue. We serve a living God. And if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, and you sit out here and you know and you say, I profess the name of Jesus, I profess that Christ is Lord, then I know that you know that He is alive because He has worked in your life. And you can go back to the time that He called you to be His child. We serve a living God. We serve Christ who was, this is what's so exciting and so amazing. And when we look back in history, we serve Christ who was seen by more than 500 witnesses after He was crucified. And as after He rose from the grave. Paul talks about this in 1 Corinthians. Let me just read this to you. 1 Corinthians 15:3-8 says this: For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that He appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. And then He appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. And then He appeared to James, and then He appeared to the apostles, and last of all, as to one untimely born, He appeared also to me. We praise God for Jesus. We praise Christ for going to the cross. We praise God for providing a way of salvation through Christ. I mean, He loved us so much that He said, I will provide you a way to me, to the Father. That's love. That is amazing love. That is grace. And we worship Him for that because the church, believers, we don't come here to this place to worship that we have everything together, that we're so good. We come here worshiping because we know that we were dead in our sins. And we worship Christ because He was the only way to salvation. He is the only way to salvation. And guess what? Tomorrow, you can praise Him again for that. And the next day. Guess what? Next Sunday, we're going to come right here and praise Jesus for everything that He did for us on the cross. We're going to praise Him that He's alive, that He rose from the grave. I hope you'll join us next Sunday and the Sunday after that. We don't praise Him for the cross and for rising from the grave just one day a year. Believers will praise Him forever. Amen. For eternity. Let's pray together this morning. Lord, we love you. We thank you. We don't even have the words. So all we can do is just say thanks. Thank you. Thank you for loving us so much that you willingly went to the cross, that you took our place, that you defeated death. And so we praise you this morning because you are alive. You have risen. You sit at the right hand of God, interceding and fighting for us, ministering to us. So we come together as a family, unified in why we are here, and that is to lift your name, to praise your name, to worship you, to proclaim that you are Lord. So speak to our hearts through your word, your word that is alive. Speak to us as we hear the good news of the gospel. We praise you. It's in your name that we pray. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Last week, the author of Hebrews encouraged the church to do something. Does anyone remember what that was? Two words. Consider him. And we looked at what that meant, that phrase. It wasn't to go, you know, he's a good option. No, what that phrase means in the original language is to very carefully calculate and think about what he's done for us. And so that, you know, when we start to do that, when no matter what we go through, how hard it is or how good it is or if it's a rough season or whatever, we should always be stopping and considering what he did for us and go, oh, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Consider him. Consider Jesus. Think about Christ carefully with precision. It means to think carefully about what he did for us as he, as that verse said, endured from sinners such hostility against himself. So this morning, I want to do that. I want to continue that. I want to consider carefully what he did for us. And we're not going to go into this next section of Hebrews this morning because it's going to start a whole other passage. We're going to pick up on that next week. But what I do on this Resurrection Sunday, I want us as the body of Christ to consider what Christ did for us on the cross, to think carefully, to praise him, to worship him, to thank him, to focus in on this miraculous event of the cross and what that means for us, what that meant for us. So we're going to look to God's word that is alive, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. We look to God's word that's been breathed out by him, it's truth, and we want to consider Christ and the incredible grace that he poured out on his children. So turn with me to the book of 1 Peter this morning. 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2, and we're going to be in verse 24 this morning as we consider and think about what he did for us. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 says this, "He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed." It really is a biblical truth that what Christ did for us is pretty crazy. Okay? That's truth. We don't usually refer to it like that. We usually say what Christ did for us was miraculous, it was amazing, it was true love. But really, even biblically, it's okay to say what he did for us was just crazy because it wasn't normal. We don't do for others what he did for us. It's not normal. We don't think about dying for someone. We might help them, but we don't usually go that far. What he did was crazy. It was unfathomable. In fact, that's why Paul states in 1 Corinthians 1:18, he says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing." It's just crazy. It doesn't make sense. And to them, it's foolishness. But to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. That's the New International Version there. The cross is foolishness. The message is foolishness. It's because it is just crazy that someone would do that for us. That this man, and when we think about it, and in our understanding of Scripture, the Son of God, this man, the Son of God would willingly, this is where it just starts to just be so amazing, that he would willingly leave glory, put human flesh on, so to speak, and then willingly go to the cross to bear all of our sins, so that those who believe in him might not perish, that those who believe in him might be healed and be free from our sin. So what do we see in this amazing, powerful verse 24? First of all, in the very first section of this verse, what we see is that Christ is the perfect substitute. The perfect substitute. The text here states that, and look at it very carefully. Look in your Bible. Look at those words. What the text is saying. He's saying this: he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree. Now that we might just look at that, and go, yeah, he went to the cross. But what does it mean that it says he himself bore? This phrase is stressing the truth that Jesus, the Son of God, willingly, voluntarily, without anyone forcing him, died for the sins of all who would believe. Christ is our substitute. That's amazing. Don't miss that this morning. You know, as believers, we hear this, we know Jesus died for us. And we read scripture like that, like, yeah, he bore our sins. Okay, yeah, I get that. But that phrase is really important. He himself. No one said, you got to do this or else. No one forced him to go. He willingly died for us. He himself bore our sins. He is the perfect substitute. Christ bore our sins. The word bore or bear means that he carried, and this is what we really have trouble understanding, he carried the heavy weight of all our sins. Does that even make sense? We can't imagine that, can we? What it would mean to carry the weight of all sin. Now we know we can see pictures and we can watch video, or we can see portrayals of him, you know, physically being beaten and physically carrying the weight of the cross, and we can kind of understand that. We know what weight is, and we can understand, and we can try to imagine. And we were talking about this last night before bed, you know what, or a couple of days ago, that, you know what. We can kind of picture, you know, Jesus being whipped and, you know, his flesh being torn off, and then all of a sudden having to carry the weight of a cross on that, you know, those open wounds and that. And we think about that and we try to imagine that, but we don't understand what it would be like to carry the weight of sin, do we? We try to imagine him holding up his own weight on the cross with just nails through his ankles and nails through his wrist. That brings pain to us. It sometimes, I'm sure you experienced it at different times in your life, seeing an image, it brings us tears as we see those images. But that was just the physical aspect of the cross. That was just the physical aspect of the cross. But we have no concept of what it means to bear the weight of sin. And there's a verse in Romans 8:22 that tries to kind of help us understand this weight. And it states this way. It says it's a weight that was so heavy that the whole creation groans under its weight. That's beyond our thinking. And this is what Christ bore for us. He not only went physically to the cross, but he bore our sins, the weight of all sin. This is huge. This is why we come here. This is why we sing these songs. This is why, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you know that your life was just filthy rags before Christ saved you, before his grace covered you. And so we say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Leon Morris put it this way. He said this: to put it bluntly and plainly, if Christ is not my substitute, then I still occupy the place of a condemned sinner. If my sins and my guilt are not transferred to him, if he did not take them upon himself, then surely they remain with me. If he did not deal with sins, I must face their consequences. If my penalty was not borne by him, it still hangs over me. Consider Jesus. Consider what he did for us. And if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you can say, thank you, Jesus. If you have never professed Christ as Lord, then you still carry this weight of sin. You are still condemned. But there is an answer. There is a gift. There is a way to the Father. There is a way to be cleaned up. There is a way to righteousness, and that only comes through Jesus Christ and what he did for us on the cross, and we proclaim him this morning as Lord of all. Consider Jesus. I want believers to consider Jesus this morning. I want non-believers who are being called by the Holy Spirit right at this moment to consider Jesus. Think about what he did for us on the cross. Think about him as the perfect substitute, that he took our place. We deserved death. We deserved to suffer from the curse of the law, but he took our place. He suffered the penalty. He received the wrath of God against sin. I always think about, we talked about this last year, I think about Barabbas. I mean, even from everything that was happening, even at that moment, Barabbas got to experience Christ as his substitute. The murderer. And Jesus took his place, and they released him. Well, we're all Barabbases, aren't we? Deserving death because of our sin. Jesus took our place. Christ took the full punishment for sins, thus satisfying divine justice and freeing God to forgive those who repent and believe. Listen to Galatians 3:13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming the curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. He became the curse. He took the weight of sin. He became that substitute. We are the ones that deserve death, right? Because of our sins. Did Christ deserve death? No. He was perfect. He was without sin. He did not deserve death. We are the ones that deserve death. He was perfect. He is God. He had no sin. We are the ones that are filthy. Ephesians 2:1 says, and you were dead in the trespasses and sins. We were dead. We were born into sin. Romans 6:23, the first part of that says, for the wages of sin is what? Death. We are the ones that deserve death. He did not deserve death. And so are you seeing this? Are you considering? Are you thinking about it calculatingly and thinking with precision what Christ did for us? Are you allowing your mind to see the beauty of the cross? We don't think of, you know, we think of the beauty of the cross, don't we? The cross was brutal. It was death. It was not that perfectly sanded, varnished thing that we wear around our necks or that we put on our walls. It was rough, it was splintery, and it was covered in the blood from Jesus. But for us, on this side, we do say the cross is beautiful because it means our salvation. It means we are clean. It is beautiful, it is holy, it is magnificent, it is miraculous in what Christ did for us. It is the picture of grace. Grace. Something that was given to us that we didn't deserve out of his love. Why did he do this? Why would he do this? We see the answer in verse 24. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree. Why? That we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. Why did he do this? So that those who believe could be healed. We could be healed. He saved us. He died for us so that we could be healed. By his wounds we are healed. Why did Christ willingly become the perfect substitute? The perfect sacrifice. So that we might die to sin, live to righteousness, and by his wounds be healed. I mean, you think about the picture of baptism. For the last 11 summers or so, our church has rented out the big pool in Midwest City, and before we ever start swimming, we all gather, and we gather all along the edge, and we have a time of worship through baptism. And we've seen, I mean, I look around and I see so many children that have been baptized in that chlorinated water. It's just a picture. It's a picture. And it's a beautiful picture of what Christ did for us. And so we gather there as a church family so that we can proclaim that, yes, we are followers of Christ. And we gather and we all clap and we cheer when we see someone get baptized. And this is why oftentimes as we baptize someone that we say this phrase, buried with him in baptism and risen to walk in newness of life. We say that. That baptismal phrase was not made up in some Southern Baptist meeting. Okay, that comes from Scripture. There's Scripture, and that's why we say it. Romans 6, 3 through 4 says this, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Christ died so that we might die to our sin and live in righteousness. He died so that those who believe might be healed of our sin problem." Amen? That's so amazing. He died that his wounds that were associated with his death would heal us of our sin problem. He died so that we could have a brand new life. And that's what's really amazing is that when we are by faith, when we're saved by faith, our entire nature is changed. Our standing before God is changed as God declares us righteousness since our sins have been paid for. But it also changes our nature. We are not only justified, but we are also sanctified. I know those are churchy words. But we are made righteous because of what Christ did, because Christ paid for our sins. But we're also given a brand new creation, a new life, a new nature. That's why believers look and act different than they did before they came to know Christ. Does that make sense? That's why people in your schools or in your neighborhoods or at your workplaces, that's why your language would naturally be different. That's why the things that you talk about would naturally be different. The things that you do, the things that you say, the way you treat people, all that stuff has changed because Christ has given you a new nature. 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed. Behold, the new has come." And this is the idea of being born again, right? Our old sinful life is gone in Christ, and we are made new. And we receive a spiritual healing. By his wounds, we are healed. This is why Peter says, by his wounds we are healed. The phrase comes from the Old Testament where Isaiah states in Isaiah 53:5, "But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds," or in some translation, "his stripes, we are healed." What Isaiah and Peter mean are that the wounds that were associated with Christ's death and that's his suffering, and it's the wounds that are associated with his death are what heals us, those of us who believe in Jesus. This healing is a spiritual healing. The spiritual healing of a disease called sin. We are all born with a disease, a sin disease. And it's only through Christ that we can be healed from that. You know, when we are sick, we seek healing. We go to the doctor and we ask for medicine, whether that's antibiotics, if we're fighting a very difficult disease like cancer, we're given radiation or a very intense medication. Whatever we are given, that medicine is put into our bodies to fight the virus. It's to fight the bacteria. It's to fight the disease that's in our bodies. But there is only one way to defeat or to get rid of the sin disease that we're all born with. And this is the only way to defeat that. And that was for a sinless, perfect lamb, Jesus, to be sacrificed for us. For the Son of God to willingly take our place, to be our substitute, to take all the weight of sin, so that those who believe might die to sin and live in righteousness, so that by his wounds, our sin problem, which leads to death, could be healed once and for all. Praise the Lord. Consider Jesus this morning. Think carefully about what Christ did for you on the cross. Think carefully about what he had to do, that he bore the weight of all sin, and he did that out of his love for us, so that we could die to that sin problem and live in righteousness with a new body, a new nature. And that our sin problem, our disease that was leading us to the grave, to death, could be defeated. We could be healed from that once and for all. To the non-believer, to the doubter, this morning, do you see what Christ has done for you? You can be forgiven forever. You can be forgiven. You can be made clean. No matter what you walked in here with, all the weight of sin that you carry and the disease and the filthiness, you can walk out of here brand new, clean, with the righteousness of God in Christ. Your disease, your sin problem can be healed once and for all. You can be made clean. You can be healed. You can be given a new life. And so I say, are you hearing the call of the Holy Spirit? Is the Holy Spirit calling to you, producing in you faith to believe in Jesus Christ? Consider Christ this morning. Believer, as you consider and think about Christ, our perfect substitute, then I would say praise him. Praise him in your hearts right now. Just praise him and thank him. Say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise Jesus this morning. Worship him. If you weep over what he did, let it be tears of joy. Because what he did, he didn't stay in the grave, did he? His followers and the women that were around him, they wept and they mourned. But guess what? He did not stay in the grave. He rose from the grave. He defeated death and defeated sin. And guess what? He is alive. And he sat down at the right hand of God. Why did he sit down? Because it is finished. It's done. Once and for all. Let's pray.